We call the lesson that we studied this morning Love Languages. And if you were noting as we studied, that's exactly what we were looking at in the Song of Solomon, the language of love. There is a book that was written some years ago, 1992, by a fellow by the name of Gary Chapman. And his book was Five Love Languages. And apparently that book has been very helpful to many people. I wasn't interested in teaching Mr. Chapman's book. But what I was interested in is how some of these things that he suggested fit with what we have in divine revelation. Come on up past Jeff. Good. And so that's what we did in our study this morning. So tonight we're going to talk about application. And I welcome your input as we look at application. So five love languages. That's what this particular fellow, after years of research, he's a counselor of some sort, this is what he came up with, but he was way behind the times as we saw in our study this morning. First of all, there was words of affirmation. This was his number one thing, to say things that would affirm. Wonder where we could find that in Scripture. That's right. Song of Solomon. Look what we did this morning. Look at every one of these lines. What's the first word? Expressing the joy, love and joy of one another's love. And when you look at the Song of Solomon, you'll see that's what you have, is you have like one, two. This is her expression. She's talking about. These are words of affirming her love, and all the way through with her and the man as well. Same thing with the need and joy of time spent together. She's expressing and affirming her desire for that. And so expressing delight in the other's appearance. You'll see there in 1:16, you know, she said, "How handsome are you, my beloved?" As if she was talking to him. Maybe he's not present, but that's in her mind. These are words of affirmation. When you look at the joy of physical touch, you see the same thing. His left hand be under my head and his right hand embrace me. These are words of affirmation that she enjoys his touch. And so, while Mr. Chapman wrote his book in 1992, somewhere about, I don't know exactly, 900 B.C., 950, between 900 and 1000 B.C., Solomon wrote about it, a whole song about the importance of words of affirmation. Now, I've got a list that I'm going to put on the slide of some words of affirmation. I borrowed some of these from the website and added some. But I just want to see your input. What would you suggest would be words that affirm to your mate your love for your mate, that might be encouraging, that might be producing a closer relationship? What are some of the things you might say? What? I love you. How simple is that? Is there a day that goes by that should not be part of our love language? I love you. From in the morning till the night when you go to bed, I love you. Simple thing, but so very important. I wonder how many people go through an entire day and never hear their mate just affirm, express, I love you. Not fake. Not dutiful, it's just meaning it. I really love you. That kind of thing. Anybody else?
I appreciate you.
Okay, very good. And you'll see in just a moment, these are some of the ones that are listed on this sheet. I appreciate you. Do you ever express, you know, I really appreciate you, the way you treat me, the way you take care of me, the way you honor me, those kind of things. The things you do for me. Something else. Very good. Thank you for being the provider that you are. We just kind of take that for granted. But how many people are married to a woman, for example, to a husband? They don't have that confidence that he's going to work and provide. Or married to a woman, that whatever he provides, she spends it all or doesn't take care of it. That's a good point. Thank you for providing for me. Let me look at this list that I've got. Words of affirmation. This is the beginning of them. And you'll see already that I appreciate it when you. And so the idea of appreciating what somebody does. Do they do something special for you? Maybe a woman appreciates it when her husband picks up her clothes or takes out the garbage or whatever it may be. Do you ever just say, I appreciate you? Or is it, he gets home from work, hey, you forgot to take the garbage out this morning. Is that it? Or is there any words of affirmation? Look, yes, Jeff. Do what?
Maybe there's nothing that she has done to receive that comment, but just that you appreciate
it. Very good. Maybe it's not something they've actually done. It's just you appreciate them being your companion, being devoted, being wholesome, and you don't have to worry about them looking out at somebody else. Note this one. Everything is better when you're here. Some people act like they couldn't wait to be alone. You know, they can't stand being together. I couldn't do this without you. What about this one? I really love your new outfit. It looks great on you. You ever tell your wife when she goes and puts on a new dress or a new outfit? Oh, you look lovely, sweetheart. Thank you for taking care of yourself. When she redoes her hair, do you ever tell her? Do you ever? I ask women sometimes. I'll note their new dress. Say something. Your husband say anything? No. Why not? And so, you know, I mentioned this morning about talking about your shoes. Guess what happened? Melissa looked over Keith's shoes. But anyway, you know, it's just whatever it may be. I'm so lucky to be with you, sir.
The shoe made me feel appreciated.
All right, good. Well, I know, Melissa, you're a dress hog. I know that. But I know Melissa appreciates the way you dress, because I've heard her say it. She likes the way that you take time and attention to the clothes that you wear. And so that's good. And I'm sure she expresses that. I'm thankful to have you in my life. It impresses me when you know, whatever it may be. There are husbands and wives that never say that kind of affirmation. It's when you fail, they note it. You stumbled up, you messed up. What about, I'm impressed when you do this or that? To affirm your love. Thank you. What about just the word thank you? How about you're doing such a great job? I'm really proud of you. You ever come home, guys, and tell your wife, man, it's so good to come home and my house is clean and the clothes are picked up and we've got a comfortable place to live. You ever say that? You say, well, I feel that. No, we're talking about expressing words of affirmation that express your love and appreciation for your mate. Same thing with the wife on the other hand. You're one of my favorite people to be around. You're so special to me. You're the best. Your support means so much. You're an inspiration. Then there's that one that Kenneth mentioned right at the beginning. I love you a lot. And mean it. Any other suggestions? Yes, Josh? Okay, Shonda? Writing a letter to your mate? I hadn't thought about that. Does Brandon write letters?
Oh, yeah.
I can see Brandon doing that. I can see him doing that. That's interesting, isn't it? That's something I don't think about, writing a letter. But that's good. And maybe it's not a letter. Maybe it's just a short note or something like that. Josh, you had a comment.
Just kind of going like on what Jeff was saying. If we're looking for something for them to impress us with, there may be times or a stretch of time where, you know, our spouse may really be focused on dealing with the kids or dealing with an issue. And so if we're saying, well, where's the attention on me? I can't really give you thank you for what you did, or you know, you impressed. But I think, like to Jeff's point, kind of to the point of where how Christ loves the church, it's just a freely given thing. It's not contingent on, God loves us whether we married or not. And so in that case, we're looking at our spouse like several of these are no matter what.
Good point. Not necessarily tied to a particular deed, right?
Right.
That's a good point. Yes. And look, these are just suggestions. But, you know, this guy discovered that this, by looking at people's lives, this is an important factor. But you don't have to depend on that guy. We look all through the Song of Solomon, this is what you find over and over and over again. Expressions of love, joy together, need for that person, etc. Yes, Linda?
Also, when you have illnesses or you're not up to par and everything, you can tell your mate, especially if they've been kind and they go out of their way, you know, to be helpful and do things that they don't normally do for you because of the situation. It really helps to hear and to say, I really appreciate that you know that I'm going through this and, you know, are understanding and are helping.
Very good. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, people just have health issues. They don't feel good. Their mate goes out of the way. Well, let them know how much you appreciate that. You say, I do appreciate it. Well, tell them. This is what this is about, expressing words of affirmation and love. Because there's going to be times where you're going to have words of disagreement. You're going to have, you know, I've heard people say, we never have an argument, liar. Yeah, you do. But this helps balance that. You've got these words to build on. Yes.
Well, so when we're talking about this, this may not always be the easiest thing for people to do. This may be out of their character, out of their nature. Tonight, everybody's going to go home. They're going to express their love for their mate in words. I can tell you that now. But 2-3 weeks from now, you may struggle with this idea of wanting to say something that may come off insincere or something like that. But I suggest that we could look around us and do one of two things. We could find a relationship that we would want to emulate and strive to be that for that, you know, be that type of person that maybe the relationship that you aspire to be like. You do those same things that husband or wife are doing, and or look around you in this world. This world's, you know, falling apart. Go to Walmart and you can go home with 15 different things you're going to want to tell your wife or your husband that you're thankful for. And so if you're looking for inspiration, it may be more difficult to look outwardly so that you're not worried about how insincere it is, but just look around you and be like, I'm thankful for this, I'm thankful for that, because of how bad it could be. At least they're, as a Christian, they should have a caring love for you, an affectionate love for you. As a caring love for you, and hopefully have an affectionate love for you as well, but it can always be worse.
All right, that's a good point. Like here, I've got number three. Expressing delight in the other's appearance. So we looked at the Song of Solomon this morning, you know, chapter 2, verse 14. He said, let me see your form, for example. Let's go somewhere. Let's go out to the hills and the mountains, but let me see your form. And so you have this all through the book. We read several of those verses. And so Keith says, you know, if you look around, this will help prompt this. You're right. When I go to Walmart, I go to the mall, I sure do come home and tell my wife how much I appreciate the way she looks. Because you see, women don't take care of themselves. They don't take care of their hair. They dress sloppy. They don't take care of their personal well-being. I guarantee you it makes me want to tell her, thank you. I love you for that. And vice versa with your husband. If he works to take care of himself so he can take care of the family, express your appreciation for that. Remember, this is not just based on Mr. Chapman's book. This is what we find throughout God's book here in the Song of Solomon. And so by looking around, you come to appreciate. And Keith's exactly right. We can study all of this and it just kind of, oh, well, yeah, it'd be good for today. But what about next week? And so it's a training ourselves, thinking about it, working on it, molding our character. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Those of you that are familiar with that verse. What is it that the Word of God does? Do you remember?
Transforms.
That's right. Changes the form of. That's what the Word of God does in the heart. Why doesn't it apply to marriage? Wouldn't it? Would the Song of Solomon help to transform? Say, I'm just not that kind of person. Change! I say, I can't help my temper. That's just who I am. Change! What is the word in the Bible for change? Repent! Change! That's right. And so these are some things that you can look at. Okay. Now, yes, Jamie? Boy, that's great. Y'all hear that over there? Proverbs 31, 29. You know, this excellent woman is described. And by the way, I'm not talking about a woman who's plants gardens and makes clothes. But be that as it may, she's a woman who takes care of her family. And he says, boy, you're the greatest. Remember that statement we read a while ago, you're the greatest? That's what he tells her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Not only in the Song of Solomon, but here men are encouraged to express their appreciation. Thank you, Jamie. That's an excellent passage. Yes.
I just want a little variation on how you appearance. On my cell phone, I'm alone. I have a lock screen.
A what?
A lock screen and then the app screen behind it. And I put Sandy's picture on my app screen. Okay? That's the one you look at most. You know, the opening screen, lock screen, pretty bad. Got the great kids or something.
You, in other words, you like to look at her?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Good. I hope she doesn't put yours on hers. Good, very. Anyway. Probably does. That's right. Good, good. Yes.
On the first point you made, things you can say to appreciate, obey. I think it's a good thing to say sometimes in the mutual relationship you have in a marriage. You have to say, that was a good idea. That was a good idea. Let's do that.
Good point. Now, Keith, you mentioned looking at people who have successful marriages. There's one. Here's advice for somebody that he practices that. So that's a great idea. And Doug's very good about that, trying to say things that will encourage. Yes?
Steve, as sons of God, we're given a woman to be ours. And it talks about in 1 Peter how she's supposed to be treated, how she's supposed to be treated as something that's precious. And if we don't do that, then it says there also our prayers can be answered.
Good point.
So it's something that we need to learn at a young age on how to treat a woman and in order to stay in the respect of God.
You know, we talk about abuse. We say there's no scripture to justify divorce for abuse. And oftentimes people think about verbal abuse. And oftentimes that's what people suffer, verbal abuse, because all they ever hear is negative criticism. And that doesn't justify divorce, but I'll tell you what, as Jeff pointed out, you better think about that because you're going to meet God one day. And so you need to think about words that encourage, that express your love and make your mate confident. You know, she says, I belong to him and he belongs to me. I'm his and he's mine. They need to feel that strongly, but you're the one that can help them have that kind of feeling. All right, so this is a little saying I had one time in my office. I don't remember where I got it. But it's interesting. I had this hanging up. Marriage is an investment that pays dividends if you pay interest. Keith just talked about observing, you know, people. My son Joel just taught on the family. I listened to his lessons. Guess what? One of his classes, he talked about this little thing hanging on the wall. Marriage is an investment that pays dividends if you pay interest. Boy, that's a great statement. Don't know where it came from. Don't know who invented it, but that's a good thing to think about. It's like a garden. You got to cultivate it. All right? Now, what to avoid? Don't assume there's a perfect quote for every one of life's situations. And Josh mentioned there may be circumstances that there's no perfect quote for this particular circumstance. And Jeff as well referred to that. Don't be mean and hurtful with your words. They take them to heart. Look at Proverbs 12:18. Who wrote Proverbs? Who wrote it? Solomon. There are some proverbs that he didn't write that he gathered. But you start out with the Proverbs of Solomon. Look at chapter 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. Let me ask you a question. If DeMarcus here got mad at me, he didn't like something, he took a sword and jabbed it into me. He's shaking his head no. But anyway. But he said, oh, Steve, I'm so sorry. I really am sorry. And that thing heals up. What's left?
Scar.
And that's right. Men and women, in our experience throughout the years of preaching and serving as an elder, you hear the way people talk to one another. And it's just, it's amazing what goes on in people's homes. And people say all kind of things. You're mean, you're dumb, you're stupid, I'm sorry I married you. All kind of stuff. And then they're sorry. But they don't forget it. They don't forget it. And so, be careful. People take those things to heart. Don't be overly critical or condescending. They interpret this as saying they're dumb or stupid. Can one mate make the other feel dumb or stupid? Indeed. Oh, you can't do anything. You mess up everything. Are those words of affirmation and love? Instead of stepping in and helping them and being realizing you've got weaknesses yourself, don't make fun of them or tease them too intensely. They're sensitive. So don't try to manipulate them with words. Don't try to use it for your advantage. Hit below the belt. Don't take shortcuts in expressing your love to them. They can tell when you're faking it. Don't withhold kind words as a punishment. I'm mad at them, so I'm not going to say anything good. Shame on you. And that's the way people treat one another sometimes. Any comments on this before we move on to the next point? All right, let's look at the second thing. Time together. This was number two in one of the five things that Mr. Chapman listed, that languages of love. But again, Song of Solomon's way ahead of him, isn't it? We talked about that this morning, the time together. And how in the Song of Solomon, you may remember that she expressed, "Boy, he's coming. I want to go with him." And he did the same thing. He wanted to spend time with her, running down the hills and looking at the flowers and so forth. Time together. Now, here's some suggestions about time together. Boy, we are tied to those digital devices. I want to spend time with you, sweetheart. How are you doing today, huh? Put that thing up. Put it up. Spend some time with your mate. And sometimes people might spend some time, but boy, if something comes across that's a business thing or a friend. Excuse me. A minute. I'll be right back with you. That thing dominates their lives. Turn it off if you have to. There's more important things than what comes across this stupid device. Eye contact. I sure love you, sweetheart. Wonder what the score is. Who'd you hit a ball? What? Forget that game on TV or whatever it is or that show you're watching. Look at your mate. Focus on them. Listen attentively. They may be talking about something you could care less about. But you love them. And you want them to know you love them. There was many years ago, I read an article about a woman in New York. She ran a high-class brothel is what it amounted to. She would train women for businessmen that came to New York and that wanted somebody to spend time with, which was sinful, but anyway. But one of the things she taught her women, learn about that man's job, his interest, so that when you meet with him, you talk about the things that he's interested in. That takes some work, some preparation. And so, she may not be caring the least about oil and where you drill, but this guy's an oil man. And so, to win his desire to have a companionship relationship with this woman, that's what you do. And so that's, the devil, he's smart. You have to give him that. He's smart. He knows what works. So because he does, it doesn't mean it's wrong. He knows what people are interested in. Plan. You ever plan to spend time together? Actually, plan. We're gonna take the night. Nothing else is going to interrupt. Or the weekend. Or a week. Just to be together. To be together. Be willing to try something new with your mate. Something maybe you haven't done before. There's couples here that like to go to these escape rooms together. And so You know, if that's something you and your mate hadn't done, you enjoy it. Try it. Just see what works for you. A date night without the children. You know, you can swap out with somebody. Say, you keep mine, I'll keep yours. Or whatever. You don't have to be with those kids all the time. And here's what you want to do with your kids. You know, I told my kids from the time they were young, you heard me say this, I love you, but I love her more. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And when you get older, guess who's going to be holding my hand? Not you, her. And let your kids know you love them, but you love that woman more, or vice versa. And so, without the children, young people, you got parents that want to get rid of you for a couple hours, be thankful. That's not a lack of love. It's nurturing love that will make it better for your life. Honeymoon, we talked about that in the lesson this morning. Maybe a honeymoon once a year. There's people that have been married. I know a couple right now, I'm not going to call their name. Great couple. I was over in their house, was in a gospel meeting. They had been married, I don't know how many years, 10 years, 15 years. Good couple. As far as I know, great marriage. And we talked about this very thing. They had never, ever done that before. They do it now. Take some time together. This is what marriage is about. Do you have any comments on this? Any additions? Yes, sir. Craig?
See, recently I was listening to something my wife was kind of podcasting on. I thought it was amazing. Before. So, we get,
speak up.
We get to where we have so many things that we're worried about. Too many, like you said, devices, or your kids are involved in 20 different sports or activities, and they may be good things that you're doing, but you're filling up your time with a bunch of things, and things that really aren't all that important. The real important thing is to make time for one another, make time for your service to God, and we get filled up trying to take care of all the things of the house, or all the activities that we put aside from school, or whatever, and it really just...
Good point that Craig makes. Do you remember anybody ever talking about how things can just rob you of what's important? Remember anybody talking about that?
Solomon.
Huh?
Solomon.
Solomon did?
Jesus did.
There's somebody higher than Solomon talked about it.
Jesus.
Jesus did, didn't he? How the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the work done there about the gospel and its influence in your life, but it's very, Craig's very point. Well, if it can choke the word, can it choke a marriage? Yes, sir. Yeah, but I got these kids, and we got soccer and baseball and football and basketball and who knows what else. And then we got all these projects in the yard we got to do, and we got all these things. Too many things. It chokes what's important. What's important is you develop that relationship with your mate, and they feel confident that you love them more than anybody or anything except for one thing. What is it? God. Try.
Greg, it's also important that we do these things so we can teach our children. You know, we talk about filling our time, but our kids get to a point where they may think they're probably, and your spouse feels like they're enrolled getting to the sideline because of what we're doing. It's important for your kids to understand. You know, kids sometimes don't get it, but if you start at an early age, or if you start now, kids need to understand, mom comes first or dad comes first. You know, I love you, but you know, I want to spend time with them.
That's right. And to Keith's point, that's an excellent point. Let me tell you what that's going to do. If you teach your children that, 20 years from now, you'll get more nights of sleep. You know why? There's a lot less chance your kids calling you in the middle of the night, oh, I'm unhappy, we're just not getting... Wait, teach them that the relationship with your mate is what's important. Cultivate that. And so that's a good point. You teach them so they will incorporate that when they get married. Love you, mom and dad, but now I got a new relationship that supersedes mom and dad. That's where it needs to be. Good point, Keith. What to avoid. And like I say, these are tips that I found at this website, but I've borrowed them and used others, and you have other great suggestions. Don't complain about the time you spend together. I'm going to spend time with you, but let's see, how long has it been? You know, not that kind of thing. Resist the urge to do something else while your partner's talking. Don't make your mate feel needy if you're reluctantly feeling their need, remind them, you know, I did take time with you, so you owe me. Incessant text and emails. What's the love TV channel?
Hallmark.
Yeah. And of course, Hallmark is the kind of thing you can watch about 5 minutes. You know how it's going to end. That's still good. But you're watching it, and you know you got this maybe this girl, and she's maybe engaged to a guy or something. But you know what's going to happen. There's this other guy walks in the picture, and he pays her some attention. The guy she's engaged to, he walks in. Oh, excuse me, just a minute. Oh, excuse me. Oh, wait. Oh, someday we'll go do something. But right now I'm working on this project. Guess what happens? It's just a show. But that's what really happens in life. Yes, Deanna?
Same
with what?
When you were speaking earlier to listening with your full attention, from both sides of the marriage, if you can't manage to sincerely listen to what your spouse says with attention, we need to know that there's always somebody else to be more than that.
That's a good point. If you can't listen sincerely and pay attention, there's somebody out there. And we're going to talk about physical touch here in a moment. That's one of the points. But over in Proverbs chapter 5, y'all remember that proverb about marriage? About seeking to fulfill your desires with your mate? And then he said, if you'll do this, then he said, for why should you embrace the bosom of a foreigner? In other words, if you do this at home, you shut the door to that. And he likens the marriage relationship to quenching thirst. Look, folks, there's a lot of thirsty people out there. And there's a lot of people who'd be glad to quench thirst. So you better take care of that at home. And it may not be talking about the physical relationship. It may just be this conversation thing that Deanna mentioned. That's an excellent point that she makes. And so somebody's willing to listen. And so attention, time, sacrifice, always being involved in things you're interested in, enjoy. Let's just, you know, sometimes we're just downright selfish. I don't know how many marriages crash because people are simply selfish. That's it. We don't like to use that, but that's it. Selfish. This idea of demanding to be served becomes a duty. You know, you want your mate to spend time with you or do things for you, but if you get to where you demand it, it's a duty. It takes away the love aspect. And I do it because I want to do it. I do it so you won't gripe and feel bad or... No. So you won't turn your face away from me and not talk to me. That's no good. It shouldn't be a duty. I do things for my wife I'm happy to do. But I wouldn't enjoy them so much if she expected it. And if there were consequences attached if I didn't. It would ruin it. So acts of service designed to make your mate feel guilty for not doing them or for not rendering service to you. Hey, I did that for you. Why didn't you do something for me? Grow up. That's what you do when you're a kid. And so acts of love. Think to boy. All right.
Before you move on.
Sir?
When I used to work at the post office in Lufkin, there was a custodian there that had a sticker on the side of the scan that read this: no one knows what I do till I don't do it.
That's a good point. No one knows what I do until I don't do it. And that's unfortunately what happens sometimes in marriages. Notice what your mate does. Notice. There'll be times they fail in some duty. But if you're complimenting them and encouraging them, you'll avoid this kind of thing of always being demeaning and making them feel bad. Acts of service. This was number 4 on the list. Now, some of these things you can think of, you know, it's things that your mate might enjoy. It's not things they have to have. It's just things that might you can do to say, I love you, I care about you, I want to make your load lighter, I want to make your day brighter, those kind of things. You know, maybe it's a cup of coffee or tea. Like my wife in the afternoon, I'm spoiled, boy. mid-afternoon, I get this latte, man. It's a big old latte, big old whipped cream on top. I don't have to ask for it. You know? I know I'm spoiled. That's okay. I like it. But just things that you might do, a cup of coffee, a tea for your mate, instead of always expecting them to serve you. A good meal, if you're a wife, you know, if your husband, you say, boy, I know he likes this, and you fix his favorite meal, because you love him, that's why. And maybe he's working on his weight, and so you make your meals to try to cooperate with what he's trying to do, those kind of things. Keeping the house, so you and your mate enjoy the environment. Is home a place that your mate feels comfortable in? Taking care of the dishes after you clean up after yourself, that's who would be mate, so your mate doesn't have to. Taking out the trash. You know, there's men, they're like little boys. They don't clean up after themselves. They don't pick up their dishes after themselves. They don't pick up their clothes after themselves. I got a wife for that. Really? You're ignorant. You're dumb. That's what you are. If you think that's why God gave you a wife, you love your wife properly, she'll be happy to pick up your clothes. But sure love, acts of service. Men, maybe warming the car, both preparing the bed, helping with the children, whatever it may be. You know, when we studied the Song of Solomon, I mentioned, you know, in the Song of Solomon, and I don't know about this particular verse. There's not as much that I found in there about this, but it's still a good thing. But this verse over in chapter 2 and verse 15, catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that are ruining our vineyards. You know, after the sermon this morning, somebody said, I got the perfect illustration of that. Don says, I was thinking of Craig catching those squirrels, but he shouldn't want to catch them. It's not a catch and release. You know, it's a, they're ruining my vegetables or my sunflowers. But, you know, access, he can say, look, I got other things to do, Don. Do it yourself. But he don't do that. And so, just doing things for somebody because you love them, that kind of thing. Yes.
I can't speak for teaching girls how to do certain things because I didn't raise a girl. I can speak for teaching a boy how to do things. And acts of service is one of those things. I never knew when Dylan was going to find someone who would put up with him and get married, and I didn't need him starving to death. So I taught him how to cook. And I will tell you that his now wife is very thankful that he knows how to cook, because he will cook for her as well as her cooking for him.
That's a good point. And look, that's great if you had somebody teach you how to cook. I can cook, but my wife would just assume me not do it. But we got some guys here like Jeff and others, Craig, man, they're excellent cooks. And they do cook to help their wives out. And I know Jamie's been going through all these health issues. Craig's so good to help her, prepare meals. Those are acts of love. And that's great. Yes, Craig?
Love does not seek its own.
Good point.
We were talking about that earlier. You know, it's not a selfish act. And one of the things that when you're thinking about acts of service and doing these things is it shouldn't be an attitude of what am I going to get out of this, but how am I helping? And sometimes you may be in a difficult situation, you may be having conflict that's going on. And I was thinking about the advice that in 1 Peter chapter 3, is that right? Yeah, I don't have my glasses on. And wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that any of them that are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And I think, even though it's speaking to wives, there's an application for all of us. And And that is, there's a duty that we need to be performing out of love. And that as our spouse observes that behavior, despite the fact that they may be disobedient, disobedient to word could be somebody who's not treating their spouse correctly, or who's not loving as they should.
Right.
And so they see this example, and you can win them over in that way.
Yeah, that happened in that verse, in that chapter. The potential is there. That's right. And I've known of actual cases of what Craig's talking about, where the woman just continued to love her husband, be a good wife, and her husband was one to the Lord. And that's right. And you know, we talked earlier about not making it a matter of expectation. You men love to cook, but what if your wife expected it of you? And when you didn't, she complained. Would it be as enjoyable? No. It's an act you want to do because you love her. Yes, Jeff?
A self-help book on marriage, and that would be talking about communication. There were people that they had interviewed, married 5 and 10 years, that didn't know what the other appreciated.
That's an excellent point.
Didn't know what to do because they don't have conversation and they don't listen, or they're not observant when those things are should be talked about.
That can really impact your relationship. You know what your wife's favorite food or clothes or vice versa with the man, those kind of things. And you know, if cooking is a way to show love, I want you to understand, I know you guys love me, so if you want to show it, that's fine with me if y'all want to cook something. But no, that's a good point that Jeff makes. Okay, and so what about this matter of gifts? Again, yes, somebody, or another comment that I overlooked?
Some men thought it was beneath them to have to help with the laundry or to help clean or take care of the children and that kind of thing. And wives felt like, could you help me in the yard, or could you help me do this job that I need to do out there or something. And I know couples who have huge arguments because it's not my job.
Good point that Linda makes. We're sometimes captive of our culture. You know what our culture was. It's the way mom and dad were, so that's the way I am. Why? Is that your standard, mom and dad? Grandpa and grandma? And that's a good point that Linda makes. And so, here, get the Song of Solomon out and read that instead. Study the men and women in the Bible who demonstrated the right attitude. That's a good point that Linda makes. You know, that men think, oh, it's beneath my dignity to do that kind of thing. Wash dishes? I guarantee you, I don't like to wash dishes. But I did it. And I did a lot when my wife was sick. And so, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not beneath the dignity of a man or vice versa. So that's an excellent point that Linda makes. Let's not let our culture mold us, but let God's Word and our love for one another, mold us. Anything else before I talk about the gifts? Okay, so this man talked about gifts and made some suggestions about gifts. But again, there's not much in Solomon about gifts. In fact, when you look at this young couple, what could they give one another? What could they give one another?
Attention.
Time. Themselves. Praise. Not things. They didn't have things. There was somebody who could give them things. Give the woman things. Solomon. Oh, he could have given her chariots and servants and palaces. Look at chapter 8 and verse 7. One of, to me, the most beautiful passages in the book of Song of Solomon. Let's start back up in verse 6. Verse 6. Put me like a seal, the bride says, the woman. Put me like a seal on your arm. In other words, you belong to me. Here's the seal. You're mine. Put me like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Now, this version translates this next line, jealousy. But look at the footnote. Or its ardor. I like that. A-R-D-O-R. Its ardor is as inflexible as Sheol. In other words, love is so strong. This kind of love, affectionate love. And so, in fact, you know, young couples fall in love and people may try to separate. And the more they try to separate them, what happens? Yeah. It's a strong thing. It can be bad because people may be in love with somebody they have no right to. But it can be a good thing. And so, he said, it's flashes or flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. When they wanted to intensify a thing to the max, that's what they'd say. That's a mountain of the Lord. The flame of the Lord really burns with heat. That's this kind of love. That's not caring love. That's this kind of love. That's this affectionate, emotional love. Now, this next statement. Many waters cannot quench it. This flame is so intense, people can pour buckets of water on it. They can get the fire hose. They're not going to put it out. Rivers will not overflow it. Mighty Mississippi can't put it out. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it'd be utterly despised. You can't buy it. But you know what can happen? You can let the fire die. You don't kindle it. You don't feed it. It'll die. The people that were once madly in love, when they got married, after a while, they tolerate one another. They may stay together the rest of their lives, but they're not happy. Oh, there may be a moment of happiness now and then, but there's not the joy of their relationship. Glad to see you in the morning when I wake up. Can't wait to get home to be together at night. Look for the weekend we can be together. No, it's not that. It's up to you. It's your marriage. Kindle the fire. Work on it. And here are some of the things we found in the Song of Solomon about that very thing. So love cannot be bought. And any comments on gifts? Good point. People do something they shouldn't do or don't give their mate what they ought to do, so I'm going to buy them an expensive gift. They don't cover that over. And there's been people that have marriages that their mate gives them all kind of expensive gifts. They're unhappy, sometimes divorced. That doesn't do it. Wally and Linda have been married 58 years. Back when they first married, I don't guess there was much expensive gift giving. You know, Wally was going to college. Linda was helping him. They lived in pretty humble means. And I'm sure that's true with others that are here. And here they are 58 years later. And so it's not the things you buy that welds and molds your relationship. And people mistake that, you know. And again, here we go. Guy wants to give his wife a gift. That's great. But what if she expects it? It's my birthday and she didn't get anything. And she won't talk to him. He may go get her something, but the joy is taken out of it. And so, something to think about on this gift. Any other comments before I move on? Yes. Good point.
You appreciate him. That's, you know, there's no connection to that as far as quid pro quo. It's just a desire to show affection.
Yeah, just an act of appreciation, not in return for anything or expecting anything, just a gift of appreciation, your time or an effort or whatever it may be. Good point that Wally makes. That's the best gifts at all that there are, indeed.
Steve,
yes.
You think of gifts like, I get the impression you're talking about, like, diamonds and all that. Doesn't have to be that. Sometimes John goes to the grocery store, hey, look what I bought you. It's Hostess Cupcakes. That's a surprise. But that's probably one of my favorites.
But what he's saying is, I love you. I'm thinking about you, isn't it?
Yeah, I bought you a surprise. Something simple like that.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I like Hostess Cupcakes too, John. But yeah, that's right. Okay. What to avoid? Expecting a gift, and if not, be heard. A gift should be a matter of grace, not debt. And again, this is not original with me. Here's something to avoid. Breaking the bank. Spending so much on a gift that it creates a burden that may weigh on your mind. and rob you both of the simple pleasures and needs. The gift of love is not measured in dollars. Sometimes that's been fostered to see how big a ring I got, or that kind of thing. How nice a car my mate got me. Only given, my wife, when we got married, we didn't have anything. We bought old cars that everybody else was through with. And old tires had to keep changing and all that kind of thing. She never complained. Never complained. Only giving unexpected gift day. What if instead of waiting for birthdays and anniversaries, you gave something every day, like a Hostess cupcake? That's great. Just let your mate know you've been thinking about them. And then equating gifts with love. You don't love me. You didn't buy anything. Shaw. Foolishness. What foolishness. And so I just put on here, see the point above? This was for my notes. The Shulamite and the Shepherd about my parents. I can't remember my parents ever buying any special gifts for birthdays and anniversaries. I guess they did something. Somehow they struggled through for 66 years. And so all that stuff about gifts, that's just something that men have dreamed up. It's not found in Scripture. So here we've got the Song of Solomon. It's a divine love song. I didn't write it. Preachers didn't write it. Well, one preacher wrote it. Solomon. Said the preacher. Listen to it. We read James 1 this morning. Looking into the Word of God and let it change who we are. Keith made the point. We're going to go away and we say, well, that was all fun and good. But what's it going to mean next week, next month, next year? That's the thing. Any other comments before we close our class?